Hey, remember to subscribe and follow my podcast so when I release a new episode, you get a notification. And follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. I am very active on there. Have a great day and enjoy the episode.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan and I'm from Dublin. I want to start off by talking about flowers and how, you know, flowers are so lovely and how people think that, you know, if it's not a nice flower, then it doesn't have to be in the door. So my mum says to me, don't pick that. That's not a flower. And I say, Mother, you do know that those flowers have come from outside too. And just because it's not pretty doesn't mean it's not like a flower. It's all come from outside. So that's the thing. If it's a pretty thing, put it inside, put it in some water in a vase. What do you reckon?
I think that she's wrong and you're right, because I think I get where she's coming from, because flowers have different like auras about them. Like a red flower, a pink flower, something that's pretty, it kind of makes the environment look, it's all like feng shui. It makes the environment look really nice. But it's forgetting that things that are green, things that might not look as pretty, they're also like prettier on the, they might be pretty on the inside. It's like the same thing as like human beings. We might not always appear on external to be exactly what we are on the inside. We just have to look past that and look on the inside. So I think that's, I would kind of agree with you. I would kind of try and stick as many flowers or plants or whatever it is that comes from nature, because everything from nature, like if you take a look around me right now, I'm like sitting out in the midst of nature. Everything that comes from nature has such a beautiful vibration, and it's so, so powerful whenever it comes to healing. Like, I don't know about you, but I spent a lot of time like just out on walks and just sitting in the grass, and even just by sitting here on the grass, it already feels like healing. So having something like that in your house, I think it's so, so important, like just to fill your house with anything that comes from the earth, because it grounds you. What about you? Do you go out in nature much?
So basically every night, right, I go at 10:30 at night. I always go on my evening walk. So, you know, I tend to just half ten, I put my phone on charge and I go for a walk in nature. And I often look at the moon and I speak to the moon and I say, dear God, I pray that everything I want is coming my way. And I say, I pray that I get lots of more views on my podcast and stuff like that. And often I find deers walking past, and I see foxes, and I see little frogs, and I see birds flying. And I feel so connected to nature, because like last night I heard some goose honking. They were going honk, honk, honk. And the other night I was walking past Tesco's and there was these two deer. And I knew that the first deer had recognized that I was there. So I stood really still so he didn't think that I was there. And then this other deer, he came up under the barrier and they both trotted along the road and they walked off. And then I crept down the path and I looked and I could see those two little deers sitting on the grass. And they saw me and then they fucked off. But the point is that I always go on walks at night because there's something to do with when humans are asleep. The EMF energy of a human brain is down. It's at a lower frequency, you see. And when I go for walks, I can tune in easier because everyone's asleep. And, you know, people say they like getting up early in the morning as opposed to being like a night owl. And I say to them, when you're out at night time, people are asleep. And in the morning, even if you get up, say, at 4 or 5 o'clock, there's still a lot more people up at that time because they might have to go to work earlier. But at night, you know, most people, if they've got to get up earlier, they'll be asleep. So there's less EMF. There's less EMF energy in the atmosphere at night time. And there's actually this thing online that you could see the levels of EMF in the atmosphere at different parts of the day. And I find that at night time, I can really just tune myself into nature and I can see the trees and everything's so peaceful and calm. So I always go for walks late at night and I always go for an afternoon walk with my mother and my father and my dog, Millie.
Nice. Did you say your dog's name was Millie?
My dog's name is Millie. Have you got a dog called Millie too?
My dog's called Millie. Oh,
I find that so many dogs' names are called Millie. It's just something to do with like the name, like Millie, Millie, or Maisie, or, you know, Julie, me Julie, come on over here.
Right, Millie. Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. The first thing you said about the moon. Oh my gosh, did you see last night's moon? Because it was phenomenal. It was the biggest supermoon of the year. Oh my god.
Like two nights ago, the moon was quite small, and then last night it was like fucking massive. I'm like, how could it get from that size to that size? But it was absolutely massive. And I mean, it's crazy. Like I stand in alignment with the moon, right? I put my feet like perfectly facing the moon, and I say, you know, I'm going to get everything that I want. Everything that I want is coming my way. And I look at the moon as like a guardian angel, like a god, like it's the, it's almost like it's Amazon. I say, Amazon, I want this delivered. Then he says, it's coming tomorrow. I say, moon, yeah. I want this. I am grateful for my life, and I'm grateful for my friends, my family, my, you know, and then I just walk on, and I feel like this moon's looking down on me, like it's a kind of a grandparent saying, you've got to create your life the way you want it, because no one else is going to do jack shit for you. And it's almost like my gran sort of looking down on me. The moon's like, I'm always going to be here. If you want something, you go and get it. You know,
the moon is like the most powerful store, I would say. Like you say, it's like Amazon. It's just like you put the order in, it's going to come back. But whenever you order off Amazon, you're not sitting there every day being like, is it going to come? Is it not? Is it going to come? How is it going to come? Who's going to transport it? Which courier is going to take it? You just assume and you know and you trust that that's going to, you've ordered it, so it's coming. That's it. It's sold. It's exactly the same with the law of attraction. You have to set it and then forget it. If you don't forget it, literally, it will not come. And if you don't keep that vibe, like if you don't, it's the same thing as like ordering on Amazon. You're on the vibe of ordering on Amazon because you know you've ordered on Amazon. You know your thing's coming, so you're staying on that happy vibe. But if you're asking the universe, can I have something now? Can I have that lovely blue car over there? And then every day you're like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to get it. Oh, maybe I will. Oh, I don't know. It's like you're going yo-yo. You're confusing the shop. Amazon doesn't know what to give you. So the universe doesn't. And it's really interesting, actually. I was in a bit of a slump last week. I'm not going to lie. Like the whole lockdown started to get to me. I had just come back from tour. I was missing being on stage and missing being back to London and kind of at a standstill here. And for a week I was in a slump, and then yesterday and the day before I woke up and I was like, okay, it's time to get out of this. You know, this isn't how you should be, how you want to be. I set myself like a timetable, like a schedule of everything that I wanted to do. It included like getting up at 6 or 7 in the morning, doing yoga, morning routine, like all the gratitude and everything like that. And then yesterday morning was the first morning where like I had started the gratitude and wrote down 10 things I was grateful for, did on my meditations. And one of the things that I wrote down in it was, thank you for my last job, my last job on stage. And then a couple of hours later, I'm up in my room and I get a phone call and I see it's from Germany. And I'm like, oh, I think I know who this is. Basically, whatever, this is the law of attraction at its finest. It fascinates me. I was in Germany and I was doing the show that I was in the last time, and I went to see another show because the director or the tour manager knew my tour manager and they invited us. But I ended up going by myself and it was in German, and ended up networking and stuff and making contact with this lady who then ended up, we exchanged numbers and she saw some videos on my Instagram of my singing. And she asked me if I'd be interested in doing one of her tours, one of her shows that they run. And I kind of just forgot about it. I was like, this is the law of attraction. The universe is just bringing me stuff now because I've relaxed. And then I completely forgot about it. And I had a thought last week. I was like, ah, I think she'll probably forget about it. I don't know if it's going to happen. I'm like, but it'd be nice. Wouldn't it be nice? As Abraham Hicks always says, wouldn't it be nice if that happened? And then literally yesterday, when was the first day that I got back to my gratitude, I got a phone call and she basically offered me the job. So I was just like, that just shows you how set it and forget it, how important the forget it part is and how important it is to maintain your vibration, because that thing wasn't going to come to me. If I stayed in that slump, it probably would have ended up going to somebody else. But that's just the way it works. The universe brings you stuff that is in your vibration, I think. I don't know.
You're right. You know, the science behind that is like, you know, it's called quantum physics. So when you observe a particle, it becomes a wave. And to me, that translates to, imagine that our eyes have like laser beams coming out, right? Imagine you keep focusing on your couch and your couch keeps going up in flames because your laser beams are setting the couch alight. And you're looking at the couch like, why the fuck is this setting alight for? It's setting the whole place alight. And you're focusing on it like, why the fuck is this going alight? And the more you focus on it, the more beams come out your eyes. And the couch is setting alight. When you focus on something in life, you're creating more of what you don't want, right? As soon as you look away, the couch doesn't have your laser beam light setting it alight anymore. And so now the fire has time to set itself out. So now, that's the same as focusing on something, whether it's a goal, love, a relationship, a job. If you're focusing on something, you're pushing it away. You're creating more of the things you don't want. So if you just let it go, know that I want this thing to come to me. Let it go. It will come if it's meant to. If it's not meant to come, it won't. But you don't know if it's meant to or not until you let it go. Because that's just the secret. When you observe a particle, it becomes a wave. It knows when you're looking at it. The universe knows when you're focusing on it. Somebody like the German tour manager lady, whatever, she knows, she can feel it when you're focusing on her. And it's not like she's purposely waiting for you to not focus on her, then she'll call you. It's just her energy is feeling that focus, and it's not allowing herself to get your thoughts or give you a call, because it's just how it works. And as soon as you let it go, it's almost like somebody has stopped squeezing you. You can now breathe again. And that's when the things come. And that's the biggest secret. So let it go. It doesn't work if you don't let it go, because you've got to put it out there, shoot out in a particle, it'll come back in a particle. But if you focus on it, you collapse, parts go away.
Absolutely.
It doesn't fucking come back.
No. It's exactly that. And like, people always say, like, I know there, you have to have balance, you have to have contrast with people at different stages of like spiritual development and everything, because if you don't have contrast, you can't see where you're at and you can't learn more. But a lot of people would say that, oh, you're kind of crazy, all this is over spiritual woo-woo, so many names that they give it. But it's actually scientific, like you said, like when a particle is observed, it collapses, and it you give it its form by observing it. So I think that, like, I think the world needs to know more about like quantum physics. I don't know, but in school, like, we learn physics, but this stuff I only started to learn after I was out of school. I was like, I wanted to dive deep into like relating religion with physics and spirituality. I just think that those three things, like, they all need to go together, like, especially within like teaching in school and stuff. Like, if we knew how they're linked, then people wouldn't think that it's so crazy to think that they could create their own lives. And imagine what we could do if every single person on the earth knew how to create their own reality. Like, I literally think about that all the time. If we all woke up in the morning and was like, oh, today I'm going to do this and this is going to create this, the world would just be completely different. Like, it would be full of love, I think.
That's a thing, right? We see that based on our own experience, and how if we knew this stuff at school, our lives would be very different, right? But you've got to think that if everybody knew this, life and societies and corporations and civilizations wouldn't be as it seems. We'd all have companies, we'd all have power, and nobody's going to be buying anything because everyone's got their own business, which means they can go over there, which means that you're not going to make any money, because why would you go to him and buy it for, say, £4 if you can go to him and buy it for 50p? Nothing would be as it was. Nobody would have people working for them, because nobody's going to work for somebody if they can have their own thing themselves. So we say that because we want to change the world and, you know, promote all over our knowledge. But the reality is that if everybody knew what we knew, we would not be able to have wealth, because there'd be no such thing as wealth, because it'd be all the same equal pay, trading a lettuce for a carrot and a MacBook for an iPhone and then an iPhone for a house. It would all be the same. Which means that we wouldn't need to have any money. That's the sad truth. And I find that people in like our path, where we become aware of all these things and we go back in time, like, why do we not get taught this at school? And then you realize, if you taught this at school, there'd be no, life and civilizations wouldn't be the same. Like, we've come from small tribes and there's been a leader. Now there's a government. If everybody had the same power as the leader, the pack of the tribe, nothing would exist, because each person would simply take out the leader, and there'd be no humans, because we'd all be dead, because we'd all want to lead and have charge of the tribe. And you know, there'd be fights all the time. So they'd have these policing and governments and armies to put the people in order. Otherwise, it's easier said than done. But what I can say is that if you teach people who want to be taught this, you change their life and then they'll change other people's. But you can't teach people who don't want to be taught, because you're wasting your time. Because, you know, they either have it within them to change or they don't. That's what I can say. And you know what? As I was speaking, I sounded like Conor McGregor. I don't know what's happening. I'm going from Northern Ireland to Dublin.
Fuck, I don't know. Where are you from? I think you're from Dublin. I think you're right. And it's one of those difficult concepts, because on one hand, it would be really nice if everyone could have equal, everyone could, you know, have as much food as the other person, if every country in the world and every person was fed and had the equality, but then I guess on the other side of that, within that, then there would be people who work their asses off, and then there would be people who do nothing and then still get the same as everybody else. So it's kind of like, would that be the nice ideal? And I think it would be lovely if everyone could equally have the same, but at the same time, I know that that's not the purpose of our existence. Or from a higher place, there has to be this balance of different people. And like, I know I believe strongly in past lives, really, really strongly in past lives, because I felt a lot of things that happened to me come from past lives. But I know that I may have been poor in another life, or really mega rich in another one, or just like average on another one. And that's really important, because on a higher level, our soul needs to experience those different things to get the growth. And if we didn't have the world the way it is, then we wouldn't be able to come here to Earth to experience that. And I think that's part of the reason that we are here on Earth, and why Earth is how it is. It's so that we can have all of these different earthly experiences. So I get you. I think that it would be really, really, I don't think it would ever be possible for there to be a world where everyone is the same. Like, we have yin and yang as well. Like, you have dark and light, you've got warm and hot. There's always an opposite to everything, and without the other, you can't experience love without knowing what hate is. You can't know what light is without the dark. It's the same with everything. There has to be a contrast, otherwise it's impossible. And you have to, like, people just have to get good at, and it's something I'm getting better at now, is appreciating the down and seeing. I know that whenever there's a down, there's an up. And usually if that down is hard, that up is a mega up. And then I'm like, ah, I see it now. So just appreciate those down times so that you can then spring back up. I think it's even more powerful when you spring back up.
So, you know, think about poverty. It's like, there's no such thing as poverty, right? Poverty is in the mind. For example, right? You've got somebody who's living in a council house and they haven't got any money. So you could say they live in poverty, right? And they expect government to, like, give them money to buy food. But then you look and realize that they've got Wi-Fi, they've got a smartphone, they've got a laptop, they've got an Xbox, they've got a TV. Something that has cost fucking thousands of pounds, right? And then you realize you could actually buy certain foods that are so cheap that will last you for such a long time. So you've not got food, so you're in poverty, right? But then you've got all this other shit that cost money. So poverty is a mindset. For example, right, if you've got, say, someone in poverty in, say, I don't know, Manchester, for example, right, and they move to the countryside, right, they move to Dublin, Devon, Cornwall, whatever, okay, there'll be different types of people, different types of markets, different types of shops and food. There would be different types of housing, right? So you go to, say, the Cornwall council estate, and they would put them in a council house, but the neighbors around them wouldn't be as, say, wouldn't have the same type of mindset as the people in Manchester. And so the people in Manchester are, for example, not in poverty because they haven't got enough money. It's the mindset that they're in, right? Because anybody can grow crops and food, which means you don't need money to buy food, which means you're not in poverty, right? And let's just say the value of a house in Manchester was, say, 200 grand, right? But you can't afford to buy food. So you can either go to the government and get, like, benefits to pay for the food for your, say, 6 children, or you can go to the countryside and buy a massive fucking house, right, for, say, 100 grand, with so much land, so much space, and now you've got money left over. So poverty is based on your financial circumstances, based on how you believe life, how you believe you should be living. So if you believe you need a phone, you need a Wi-Fi, you need a laptop, you need a phone line, that's going to cost so much money. And then it comes to food, and you can't afford anything with your 6 children. But it's like, if you take yourself out of the mindset and go to, say, the countryside, bigger house. Now you've got, say, 150 grand in the bank. So it's a mindset of seeing around you, matching yourself with these people and knowing that, well, that's what life is like. Government's not coming to help us. This bollocks, it's in your head. Ultimately, it is. Saying that, you can't just take yourself out of a situation and move somewhere. That is harder said than done. But poverty is in the mind because, as I said, if you can afford a £1,000 iPhone but you can't afford a meal, there's a problem in the mind that you think you need this iPhone.
100%. Like, they always say it's not a lack of resources, it's a lack of resourcefulness. It's what you choose, your choice of what you do with the money. And, like, I've been there before where I'm like, oh, I don't have any money, I don't have money for this, and then I go and somehow find a way to book a holiday on a credit card. And it's like that it is a choice. You learn as you make those mistakes, or not mistakes, I don't believe in mistakes or lessons, like, but it is totally a choice. Like, you can get yourself out of any situation. And it's really hard. I like it's I'm talking about poverty in this country, in our first world, but in like a third world country, it is a completely different story. Like the poverty that they know, it is poverty to us, but I don't think they quite always know it as poverty. I've been to Kenya and I've been to Tanzania, and all I've seen was kids who know how to be resourceful. They might not have a penny, but they know how to dig up and plant something. They use every single thing. Like, they won't throw out a single thing. They'll find a use for everything. And it's amazing to watch, because it just shows how, well, number one, how much we waste, and like we know how much we waste in this, like in our country, but they just find something to do with everything, and it's really amazing. I'm talking about 3-year-old, 4-year-old kids like that know how to do things that probably 10-year-olds here wouldn't know how to do. So it's all a mind, and it's all, and not necessarily the mind, but then mindset comes from your culture and your nurture and what you've grown up to know and what you've learned. I think that it's a lot to do with that, and yeah, we can change the mindset. And it's like saying you're poor is just saying it doesn't mean you're poor. There's actual people who are really poor, but then there's people who say they're poor, like people who have like 100 quid in the bank and say they're broke, and that's not real poverty. It's just, how can I get myself out of it? Like people who don't have a job, who may be able to have a job, and they're like, oh, I can't get a job. I'm like, no, you can get a job. You're just making the choice not to do these certain jobs. There's always something out there for everyone.
Yeah, like, you know, people, there's plenty of jobs out there. There's fucking load of jobs. It's just not the type of job that you'd be happy to do. So you got to understand, right, this might not be forever, but it's a job, and it gets me money, which gets me, say, a car to go around and see other jobs. So it's a stepping stone towards getting to where you want to be. Now, I always worked for myself growing up, and I never wanted to get a job because I was always going to be a millionaire, and how the fuck am I supposed to be rich by working for myself? But I shut all my business down, part of my story, and then I got my job in Nando's, right? And I worked there for 1.5 years, and what I learned was simply all the stuff that I already knew. It affirmed all the stuff that I knew. So I learned a lot, but what I really learned was what I always knew was right. And even though it wasn't, say, that's something I wanted to do forever, I was there for a moment to get to the next stage. And people who think that, you know, they're in poverty, well, their mindset of what poverty is why they're in poverty. They think poverty is not having money, and you've not got money in the bank, then you're going to be in poverty. But if you look at your LCD TV that you've got, or your pram, a £100 pram for your child, right? That's not fucking poverty. You could have bought, say, fucking 100 cans of soap. That would have lasted you for fucking a whole year. It's all perception.
True. It really is. It's the life we've learned to want, isn't it?
Yeah, right. It's all perception. I do believe that you have to have knowledge in order to get yourself out of a situation, because people will always follow patterns of what they think exists. But with extra knowledge, then you can learn. But if you don't have knowledge, for example, as I said, in Manchester, if people in Manchester who live a poverty life don't know that in the countryside you can get a house 4 times bigger than the house that you're in, and you can have all this land to grow stuff, then there's no fucking poverty. But what are we talking about? I forgot.
We're just saying about how poverty is a choice. It's mindset. Do you know what I mean? But like, I get that as well. Like, for example, a house in London, to rent a whole house out in London is like 400, 500 quid for the month. But for me to do that in London, but like between 4 people, it's like 2,300 quid or something for a nice house. Like, that is a crazy difference. But still, I choose to live in London and having to share a house, that kind of thing. It's like you choose what you want, but I would never give that up. And I think the reason that people don't settle for things is because, well, there's 2 reasons. One is because of what you've learned. That's why people are like, I have to have it this way, I have to have that TV screen, even though I'm going to starve. Because they've learned that they think that like LCD screens and phones are the more important thing. And then on the other hand, it's because people are driven with a purpose. Like, for example, with myself, like I'm not staying in Ireland. Ireland's beautiful right now, but I'm not staying here because I know I have to go to London, because I know that there's more opportunities for music. There's more opportunities for me to write with people and then inspire people and then make change to the world. I think there's that other side, is that people are driven with purpose, and that's why they don't settle for what is the basic amount. And also I have a friend who would say he lives a luxury lifestyle, like in his eyes, like quite a demanding lifestyle in terms of like how much it costs, and like he likes to have his food all the time, like the best food, and he likes to have the best of everything, which he explains is like that's his value, that's his worth, and you should never say that you can't have those things, because that's like devaluing the law of attraction and saying that I can't have the best phone, or I can't spend like 60 quid a week on good food, I'm gonna spend 30 quid a week or 20 quid a week on eating beans out of a tin. It's like, it's that mindset also. It might be the poverty mindset, but it's also the rich mindset. If you believe that you can have everything that you want, and if you act like you already have it, then that allows more things to flow into your life. So if you're just standing there being like, all I can afford is like 3 tins of beans or like 5 packets of pasta, and that's all I can eat in a week, and you keep on that mindset, that's what you're telling yourself every day. You're literally just going to keep attracting that into your life. It's just like boom, 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 boom. It's like a yo-yo or a spinning wheel, whatever. And if you change that then and be like, hi, I'm so grateful for this can of beans, or I'm grateful for this pasta, or even then change it up again and be like, stop the worry. I know a lot of the times in the past, I'm like, I really wanted to buy something, but I was like, I have the money now, but I'm afraid that I might not have the money in like a month's time. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to buy that. And then I hoard that money, but then it's gone anyway. I'm like, I should have just spent the money, because that was me. By spending the money, that's me believing and knowing that more money is going to come and replace it. It's the same with like anything, with clothes, like getting rid of things to have things come back. I think that's, I think it's really important to know that you have to like just trust. Like that's one of the big things that I love as well, is like trust in the universe. It's just, you know that like we all came here for the purpose, and as long as we maintain our high vibration, as long as we stay tuned into the universe, as long as we're, you know, we're meditating every day, we're doing everything that we can to be on the best path, then we'll not miss anything that's meant for us. So, because we do have a purpose, and when you're tuned in, you subconsciously know that purpose, therefore you can't miss anything. So for example, when an audition comes up now, and I do still sometimes get nervous, because it can be nerve-wracking, but not as much as I used to. I'll prepare, I'll work as hard as I can, but I'll not go in there and saying I have to get this. I'd be like, wouldn't it be lovely, I love Abraham Hicks, and oh, I think she's fab, like just saying, wouldn't it be nice if this could happen, wouldn't it be nice if that. It's not putting any pressure, as we were talking about before, on actually definitely getting the thing. It's saying, wouldn't it be nice. So now when I go into an audition room, I'm like, wouldn't it be so nice if I got this job? But the universe knows best which job I need, because if I don't get this one, then I'm going to get another contract or something. I now trust the universe will give me exactly what I need, because if I'm like, oh, why did I not get that job? Why did I not get that panto? And I had like dwelled on it and been like, oh, I shouldn't audition anymore, I'm not good enough, then I wouldn't have got what was coming next. So sometimes we don't get one thing because the universe actually knows what we really, really want. But by taking that pressure off, it's easy. It's just showing you trust the universe, and then the universe will give more. I think it's
so what I'm saying is, right, you know, we're all energy, right? When we're born, we are born, and there's certain planets in the atmosphere, and they are made up of our energy, right? So we're going to be guided to where they are in the atmosphere. So that's the energy bringing us towards energies of the same kind. But our 5 senses, what we see, taste, hear, smell and touch, influence and interfere with what we think we want. For example, your thoughts are made up of your 5 senses, but your thoughts are also made up of somebody else. So somebody else thinks about you. She's not even in the same country, but now that becomes part of your thought. So now you're thinking about her, but she's not part of your 5 senses. So now she comes into your head and you're thinking, well, I need to get on a plane to see her because she is in, say, Australia. But actually, she's thinking about you because she's in Dublin for the day. So you're trying to get a plane and you're realizing that the plane flights are cancelled and you can't get a plane to the last minute. And you're thinking, fuck, I've not got any money. I need to get on a credit card. And then you realize that she's actually just staying down the road and she hasn't called you yet to say I'm in Dublin. Right. So thinking about that, you're always going to attract to the same vibration. So for example, you're a performing arts person, right? So you want to do performing arts, but then you sort of see this show and you think, wow, this show is much better than this show. I want this one as opposed to that one. So now you're so focused on getting that because that's better than that. But in terms of energy, that might not be for you. Just because you want something or you like that doesn't mean that it's supposed to happen. And I've learned this from experience, right, that it's almost like I know I should be going in the direction of north. So as long as I'm going north, I will align myself to true north. What that means is when I go in that direction, it's actually just to the left that I'm supposed to be getting. So I'm going towards that theatre performance and I'm prepping myself for, say, The Greatest Showman. I'm getting myself up to that level of The Greatest Showman standard. But then actually I get the gig with Oliver Twist, for example. So I didn't want Oliver Twist, but I wouldn't have got Oliver Twist if I hadn't have thought myself I need to be as good as The Greatest Showman. I'd just be saying, as good as The Lion King. So I was fishing over there towards north and I go down that path and it's just slightly to the left. So what I'm saying is this, that when you need to have a general concept of the things that you want.
Yes.
And there's possible opportunities and avenues and ways to get there. You don't know how. The universe will align yourself up the path of least resistance. So you don't know who you have to meet along the way. You may want to see this producer director, but there's loads of people along the way that has to happen and you got to meet in order to get there. And you don't know who they are. If you have this belief of, okay, this director's in London because his show's in London, I need to go to London. Well, how do you know he's not got a family member in, say, Dublin? And he comes back every weekend. You don't fucking know that. So you're trying to go to London to find this person, right? But actually, if you just let the universe guide you, you go on a country walk and you see this guy walking his dog. And it's the fucking guy who's doing the show you want to do. Because you let the universe take you down there. So let it go. The universe will bring it in divine timing. And otherwise, you'll be influenced by your own thoughts, which is, how am I going to get there based on my beliefs of how am I going to get there? And I've changed my accent, man.
You have. You're going American now. I think that's so true. Like, we have no right, like, as such, to, like, to think that we can lead our lives. Yes, we can. We create a reality, but it's also, we're creating it from a human perspective, but out there on a divine level, it's already planned. We have a certain freedom within that. And there's no point in just thinking about how we're going to do things. It's just work your hardest, do the things you need to do, and then let the universe lead you to that thing, because otherwise it's so confusing. Like, there's so many, I know whenever this job opportunity came up and I was like, oh, but I've just applied, I've just sent in videos for this other one. What if I got that? And then what if I got the other one? And then what if I had to choose? And then which one would I do? I'm like, but it's never going to happen like that. It's the universe will give the one that's meant for you. It's always the way. I've always experienced it. Any time that I've, you know, gotten confusion and worry over making a choice, it was because I was thinking too logically about something as well. It is just trust yourself, the first thing that comes into your head, and know that that thing is what's meant for you. And like the amount of things, and no, like ever, like since I was maybe 17, 18 and became aware of this stuff, especially since I did this show in a school, in a neighboring school, and I played the lead part, and it was the first time I ever had confidence in my singing. And this this man, quite well known, wrote in one of the papers, what paper was it, the Belfast Telegraph, I think it was, it was saying something like, Amy will be a star, mark my words, remember this name in music, she will be successful in music in the future. And from that moment when I seen that, if that man hadn't written that, it wouldn't have sparked something inside of me that made me believe that I could do it. So every little thing that happens along the way, I believe, is like, there's people who are planned to come into your life to actually make you do something without you realizing it, or to make you, not make you do something, to make you realize that what you wanted was there and that you can do something. And ever since that moment, I've kind of just been like, I can literally trust that the universe will send me the people that I need to guide me and the signs that I need to guide me in the right direction. And then I have no fear in the universe now, because exactly what is meant to happen. Even sad things, whenever you look at them from a human level, like the likes of death is really, it's really horrible. It's really sad. And it is, because we wouldn't be human if we didn't experience sadness over these kinds of things. But whenever you then look at it from a higher perspective, relationships, breakups, everything, you're able to be like, oh, but that was for a reason, and that made me grow in this way, and appreciating it. Usually, like, when people like break up, or like friendships end or things like that, people are like bitter over it. They're like, why the hell did this happen to me? Why, like, why me? But if you just sit back and look and be like, oh, what did I learn from this? Oh, thank you so much for the lessons. Thank you for the time I spent with that person and what they taught me, or what they taught me I don't want. It's exactly the same with everything in life. I think you just, you've got to see it. It's all about perspective. And what I say, like, what I really like to say, I love this anatomy, is like, look at it from eyes of love or eyes of hate. You have like a choice in every single situation. It would be literally a complete lie to say that everything is positive. Oh my God, the world is always great. Everyone is so nice. You'll be lying to yourself. It's not like that. It's how you see a bad situation. If something bad happens to you, you can say, oh, this is bad. Or you can be like, ah, this is perceived as bad. Okay, I don't like how it makes me feel, but I'm going to look at it with eyes of love and be like, how can I take something good away from this situation, which then turns it into a slightly more positive situation. I think that that is so important, because everything that we do in life, we can use that eyes of love or eyes of hate. I think it's so important.
See, so for example, if you go to like India, right, there's loads of people all walking across, say, Mumbai, driving around, and no one's like getting pissed off that that person's crossing the road, and it seems like fucking chaos, right? But that's normal to them. So we are looking at our lives in, say, London, right? We're looking at our lives in London, and we're seeing like it's just busy and hectic, and everyone around us is like just fucking all over the place. We're getting angry, right? But you go to somewhere like Mumbai, and you see it's the same situation, but they're used to it, and they're not getting angry or stressed with the lifestyle that they have. So it's like, it's my perception on what I think is right or wrong in the first place. If I am focusing on all the bad in the world, I'm going to think to myself, well, you know, the world's coming to an end. But the world's made up of so many countries, so many tribes, so many belief systems, that when you just focus on, say, your little tribe around Dublin, it's so peaceful and so loving. And then you look at, say, shit around the world, Australian wildfires, terrorist attacks in Iran, all that shit, you think, wow, world's coming to an end. There's always bad and there's always good, right? Mm-hmm. But when you see that, you know, the world's coming to an end and all this shit, it's what you're focusing on. Because as I said, if you're in Mumbai and you're seeing all this chaos in Mumbai, that's normal to them. But to us, when we go to London and we see all this chaos and shit, that's like crazy.
Oh.
But to them, it's normal. So it's like, who's right and who's wrong? It's not right and wrong. It's just what you are. Is it in harmony with your thoughts and what you've been exposed to growing up with your parents and your family members? And, you know, and so, yeah, it's all circumstantial, what I've realized. It's not just one or the other. It's circumstantial.
I think it's the same with, like, the coronavirus. I think it is, like,
Hang on. Before you talk, it's really windy. Can you turn around the other way so the wind doesn't hit the mic, or hide under a tree or something, or put your hand over it or whatever?
Is that better?
I'll tell you when it's windy.
Okay. What was I saying? The coronavirus. I think it's the same with it, because it's really important that we do follow the rules and everything that we have to follow, like with coronavirus, because it's important. And if you don't like behave the way you should behave, then it can affect other people. But I think
First of all, you can drop it down, it's clear, it's just the wind. So just put your hand around it to shelter the wind. Like, the sound's fine, it's just blocking the wind. Or put your hair around it or something, I don't know.
Okay, I'll do that. I think the coronavirus, like, we're giving so much attention to the negatives of it, and that's media. It does that. It's always, it's the same with the news. You hear like one good thing on the news, and then you hear like 10 bad. It's always the way. We don't celebrate enough success as a whole, as people. And we're given, like, I see it as like, pretend that, I don't know if you've ever seen Stranger Things. Have you seen Stranger Things?
I started to watch it and then I sort of got bored, but I get it. I get what it's about, yeah.
Basically, the analogy I'm trying to use is like, just pretend, like, for example, you have a snake. And with every, like, thing it eats, it gets bigger and it gets bigger and it gets bigger. That's like the coronavirus right now. Every piece of attention that we're giving it, every negative news, every person that dies from it, every person that's ill, it's just getting bigger and it's getting bigger. And now this nuke is like circling around this field right now. It's fucking huge. Like it's bloody huge. But if we just took like our attention away from that and stopped feeding the beast, as I like to say, stop feeding the beast, it will get smaller and it will get smaller with our attention. Instead, we're putting so much negative focus on it that it's all that anyone can think of. So then everybody's like filled with fear, and then that leads to people getting sick, but it also just leads to just a negative vibration as a whole. And when there's a negative vibration as a whole, it's really difficult for any shift to happen, any change to happen, even on a spiritual level, so that the physical level we can get rid of that disease. But I just keep saying that we need to, yes, follow those rules, keep ourselves safe, but then focus on something else. Like, don't sit on your phone and read about how many people are dying every day. It's just going to make you really scared, and it's really not nice. It's horrible, and it's just not a nice time, whatever that, and looking at those things isn't going to help. Instead, put your focus on, okay, I'm locked up in quarantine now. What can I do to make myself more educated? What can I do to improve myself? What can I learn while I'm here? I'm always asking for more time, so what can I do? Instead, like, put our focus on that, or put our focus on more positive stuff, just to take it away from that. And what I was saying about fear, that because it builds more fear actually then stops us from having as strong as an immune system, because it rises the level of cortisol in our brain. And then also, whenever we're stressed out, we don't produce as much melatonin when we're sleeping. So we're trying to sleep. Sometimes we might get sleep, but we don't get proper sleep. And then the melatonin is decreased. And whenever the melatonin is decreased, that means that our body can't function as well. Your immune system can't rejuvenate itself. In fact, whenever your pineal gland is releasing more melatonin, it actually allows it to release more antioxidants, anti-cancer agents, anti-everything. Basically, it's the healing power. If you meditate, you can increase your serotonin levels and your melatonin levels and everything as well. It's all about hormonal balance from the pineal gland. And Dr. Joe Dispenza, he does an amazing documentary on it. It's called Rewired. I recommend everyone to watch that, and like, they can see the specifics of the science. But it's all the hormone balance, and by meditating and by focusing on happy thoughts, it's scientifically proven, and he's a doctor as well, that you're sending the right signals basically, and then your pineal gland is producing more of the things that you need to stay calm, stay healed. It actually has the power to heal you. I'm so into natural healing. I think this world is full of plants, it's full of everything that has a disease has a counterpart. There's always something that can heal another thing. We just are looking at it from, you know, modern chemistry and modern pharmaceuticals. We don't know that there's so many things that we can heal naturally. I just think it's incredible. And energy, the power of energy, because we always try to heal our body, but we're not healing the source, which is the pain, the energy, because our energy body soaks up so much. Like, you can be holding something in your heart chakra. I'm reading a book at the minute as well about like how different illnesses are created by like different chakra things as well. So like, if you've got a lot of pressure around your throat, you've got throat issues, that can be caused by you choking on your words, like you not speaking up about something, not speaking out, not being yourself. All of those kinds of things can lead to actually illnesses, and sometimes really bad illnesses as well. It's fascinating.
Yeah, so without speaking about the coronavirus, what that translates into is what you focus on, you see more of it, and that becomes part of your life. So I stopped watching the news, reading stuff on Facebook, reading online stuff. Well, like 6 years ago, I do not watch the news. I don't read shit on Facebook. I focus on what I want to focus on, which is becoming a millionaire to do what I need to do and changing the world. I don't focus on anything that's negative. As soon as the news comes on, I turn it off. Every time my parents watch the news, why the fuck are you watching that cancerous bullshit, right? You're right. Cancer, okay, can be cured via energy, via sound energy, right? I've watched these YouTube videos where they've put cancer cells in a petri dish and they put frequencies on it, sound vibrations, and the cancer disappears. Now, the reason why none of this changes is because life is about business and money, medicine. You know, these big companies wouldn't have any money if you could just cure your cancer with vibration and sound. But the reality is that
ancient monks and ancient people many, many thousands of years ago, they've been curing disease with a sound and vibration, right? That's just the way it is. But yeah, if you focus on something, you're going to get more of that back in your life. So if you focus on negative stuff that doesn't make you feel good, your body's going to get into the vibration of how it feels when it doesn't feel good. And that's going to be your default feeling. So now anything you watch needs to match that frequency, often stuff that doesn't make you feel good, to give you that comfort. And if you start watching positive, lovely shit, it's going to be too high of a vibration for you. And it's not going to be that normal feeling you're used to. So you're not going to focus on it. At the same time, if you're used to dancing and being happy and singing and being positive, you listen to someone talking about their negative bullshit, you're not going to be one around them. So what you focus on becomes more of your reality. Disease can be healed with sound vibration. All disease, every disease, right? It all starts from the vibration of which your cells are dividing at. And if you're in a high vibration, your cells will divide and reproduce. And then, you know, if you're a negative vibration, your cells won't divide. They'll sit there and they'll rot other cells around you, cancer, build up, become a tumor. And it's the same for like dementia and shit. If your brain isn't stimulated, it's going to become weak and you're not going to be able to do anything. Everything is about just suppressing a problem until later down the line. And just people should focus on the stuff that makes them feel good, as if tomorrow they are going to die. Somebody told me once, a mentor, if you had 6 months to live, what would you do? And I did all the shit literally within 3 weeks that I would have never have done in my whole life, because it's all about just procrastinating, waiting for the right time. Yeah. It's almost like I just need to take a shit, then I'll do that. No, do that and then take a shit. It's about just getting into that next frequency, which people don't do because they are waiting for that thing on that frequency to happen first, which is their negative vibrations. They're always going to be, and they have to get themselves out. Listening to old shitty songs about breakups, you feel good, but that's not going to make you feel good forever. You need to listen to new stuff, and then listen to this stuff. Your energy will increase. You'll start to dance. You'll feel stupid dancing by yourself, and then you'll think, fuck it, I'm happy dancing in my room. And you'll start listening to all this amazing shit. And Adele, someone like you, will just seem pathetic.
I do love Adele. I will give her that. She is a masterpiece. Like, her stuff is amazing. But I get what you mean, like, the negative vibrations. Like, you can't listen to all of that stuff. You have to have that balance of, like, oh, I've experienced that yin, now I'm going to experience that yang. Like, that's one thing I'm super interested in, is, like, music and frequencies in music. And just the words that we have in music. I know in my songs I want to create positivity, because I want people to know, like, you are enough, just to know that there's more to life than, like, singing about, like, I don't know, like, and just stuff that doesn't, like, have any positive impact on you. When I appreciate that music, because I appreciate all music, and there's some of the most talented rappers, a lot of it is negative, a lot of music out there is heartbreak music, and it is so important to have that as well, because we need the, as I said, like, always the yin and the yang. But I just think it's important to have the balance of the nice stuff as well. Like, it's we need it, and we need a lot more of it in our industry. It's the same, like, within all industries, within writing, and it's coming a lot, like, in writing and poetry. There's a lot of, like, positive stuff coming out in that, but I think our music still kind of needs more. And I'm seeing more and more people, and meeting more and more people. You know, Nico, who he did a podcast with my friend. We're, like, working on some, like, positive music. It's all about, like, being in flow and being blinded, and I being, like, awake. And he then has a song as well called Shine. It's just like seeing more and more people who want to spread a positive message through music. And I think that music is probably one of the most powerful ways to inspire people, because it gives you a platform when you make it. So I think it's important that we all just use our gifts and our talents to actually uplift instead of bring down. Because, like, imagine we could teach children that we don't need to be jealous of each other. Like, we all have it in us. So if you're thinking that, oh, I'm afraid that I'm not going to get it because that person's really good, that person makes me feel like I'm not as good, then you're thinking in a mindset of lack, and you're thinking that there's not enough for everyone to have, like, that amazingness. And there really is. Like, there's enough for everyone to have all of their dreams. There's enough places on stage for everyone who's on that vibration of getting it. You just need to trust that there is enough, and just get out of that lack mindset, because the lack mindset doesn't bring you any further in life. It kind of pulls you down, I think. But yeah, I just think it's so so important, like, to use music. I that's like my mission, that's my thing. I want to, like, get that music out as soon as possible.
Yeah, because music isn't just about the words and the meaning behind the words. It's about the sounds of the words, because certain words have different vibrations, right? You know, you say, I love you to some rice, it doesn't die as quick as if you said, fuck you, cunt rice, and it goes black and moldy, like that experiment with the rice thing, yeah? And so you've got the meaning behind the words, then you've got the sounds of the words, then you've got the music frequencies. Three powerful things in one kind of thing. That's why music is so powerful. And I find that people who are positive, they want to just admit their positive energy and, like, change the world. And negative people, then they just don't give a shit. But what's interesting is that it's a way of us creating more of ourselves, for example. Like, we know that there's lots of negative people around us, and we want to be around more positive people. So we want to make more people positive for our own selfish needs. Obviously, it isn't as simple as that, but it goes down to, I'm positive, you're not. I want to put more positivity out there so we feel more in harmony with people, because often growing up, us positive people were different as kids growing up. We were the people who wanted more to life, and we were not the same as everyone else, and so we were different vibrations. So we're essentially just creating more of our own. Like, the more you have melatonin in your brain, the more it builds up, the better you feel. The more better you feel, the more you want to create more of it. You focus on fear, cortisol builds up, and it just destroys everything in the body, and you get depressed. And then when you're depressed, you focus on negative shit. It's that cycle of, like, cells will always produce more weeds. There'll always be more weeds. Fish will always produce more fish. It's just whatever you are, more will become of it. But it's just interesting to analyze why positive people like us want to just change the world. And it all comes down to just producing more of ourselves. Like, everything always just produces more of its own. When you like, understand the message of why you want to sing. Yeah, you like singing, you know, to the of our own, because there is lack of our own positive species of human.
It's true. Like, my friend sent me something this morning as well, Liam. It was an Abraham Hicks video, and he's talking about not trying to change the people around you. Yeah, you're exactly right when you said that as well, because we need to be the light, and then other people will follow. If we're just telling people and then not getting the results, and just be like, do this and do that, don't. Just do yourself, work on yourself, go out there and get results, and be the light, and be inspiring, and be a nice person, and do whatever the inspiring thing is you want to do. And then people will follow. Like, we don't have to drag them or judge people for being where they are. I don't believe in judging someone because they're not spiritual or they're not religious. And it's the same between religions, and even though it all relates back to the one thing, love, God, universe, whatever people believe in. It's all comes from the same thing. And at the end of the day, we just need to realize that. And if everyone sort of came to that conclusion that we're all the same, then there wouldn't be so much, like, fighting and war in the world. And I wouldn't judge someone for not being like spiritually advanced, because we have to appreciate that maybe in a past life we were in that role, but we also in this life were once in that place. We were just lucky enough to have the strength or be given, like, you know, the opportunity to awaken. But also maybe it's not their purpose to awaken at this stage in their life. Maybe it's not their purpose to ever awaken. Maybe they have to have different experiences their soul wants to experience, the human level, because maybe in a past life they were, like, too spiritually evolved. There's just so much to it. Like, we can't judge people. That's not being truly spiritual, to judge people and be like, oh, you're not a good person because you're not religious, you're not spiritual, or you're not, you know, going out there and building your own business. It's no, we all have a place in society, and, like, there's so many parts of society that are so important, and, like, highlighted by the coronavirus. I think, like, people are beginning to appreciate even more, like, nurses and doctors and cleaners. Every single job, like, is as important as the other. We all, there is not, like, an accountant is not more important than a cleaner, or a singer is not more important than, I don't know, like, someone who works in a shop. Every single job is so important and equally deserving of love and credit, because it all fits into society. It's like the food chain. Without one thing, there's not another. We need it all. So I don't believe in judging people for not being how they are. We just need to, exactly what you said, just be the light, and then people will follow.
I've realized, right,
you said, every single thing comes down to love and helping people. For example, I could say people at the NHS are wasting their time trying to cure disease and cancer, because if they understood why disease exists in the first place, they wouldn't be wasting their time, right? You could look at it like that. You can also look at it like, if I broke my leg, who am I going to go to?
Exactly.
And that person, who's probably no different to you or me, just a normal person who went to uni or whatever the fuck they have to do to get there, they're just a father and a son and a daughter, stressful lives, 13-hour shift. They're going to help me, and I'm going to love that person. So when you take away everything, when you take away, you know, Boris Johnson's not doing enough for this part of life, or not giving the NHS enough money, or whatever, you take it all away, it all comes down to just human connection and love. Like, it's funny, because when we left the EU, Boris was like, NHS is going to get 300 million quid. And that was kind of a lie. Now they've saved his life, for example. I was saying to my dad, yeah, he better come up with 300 million pounds very quick. Very fucking quick. I don't know how, but he's going to have to make that appear very quickly. So what he's saying is that it's not about whether you're wasting your time helping this person who smokes because he's just going to die of another disease because of his life. So rather than finding a solution to a problem, understand the problem. It's not about that. It's about just connecting to a human being that makes you feel good. Take away everything and everything, how much they earn, whether it's right, whether it's wrong, religion, how much you earn, whether you are gay, lesbian, whatever. Take it all away. What makes me feel good? Just seeing a human being and speaking to them. And you're right, with everyone in isolation, everyone on walks are speaking. It's almost like we're in this together. Hi, how you doing? We're all fucking bored at home. We're now speaking. All these people have always been there. You just ignore them. And now you're speaking. And again, every good comes from bad. Every time plants die, new plants are born. Every time humans die, humans are born. Like, you know, thousands of millions are dying from the flu. Millions die from diabetes, asthma, get run over, cancer, stress, suicide, flu. Millions and millions and millions are dying. Millions and millions and millions have been born. It's just you heavily focus on something where you think, wow, this is happening. But people are dying from food poisoning around the world. People die from malaria, water that's not healthy. It's just a cycle of life. But because it's so mainstream, the one thing it has done is made us all appreciate the small things and people and locally. So again, some bad has to happen in order for good to happen. And it's just the cycle of life. And if it's your...
It's the yin and the yang. And like the coronavirus, however, like we've talked about the bad things about it as well, but like there's so many good things about it that like you literally have, you've got people, as you said, going out for walks together. You've got the earth. Mother Nature, like she's loving life right now. Wrote away poem. She is loving her life because we are literally like they're saying about how certain species are returning to waters and how clear the canals in Venice are and how the pollution has literally reduced so much over China. They show it on a chart going from like orange or red down to like a blue level or something. It's insane. Like, it is hard because it's not what we're used to, and it's hard not to go out and get that nice Starbucks or meet a friend, but it's a cycle of life, and there's so many beautiful things happening. Like, I don't know whether it's a coincidence that the weather is so lovely in Ireland, and it's been pretty good ever since I've come home, but it's never like that. I've never seen it like this for such a long time, in a long time. So I think it's all relative. Like it's all a connection, and it's all part of it needs to happen, because I think it's made us maybe wake up. Leaders say, oh, look how quickly we can change the environment, which is another thing. Like, I know we have the resources to make such a change to the environment. Like, the whole of Ireland could be powered by wind power or water power, but it's that poverty mindset. It's where the government are choosing to invest that money, not in making the environment better. It's in businesses. It's all money. It's crazy. Like, the whole world revolves around money, but we need money to survive, so we have to love money. But at the same time, I'm like, we could use it in so many different ways. We could make this world, but it's all a balance. It's all beautiful.
So yeah, what I've realized is that you can't change the world. Governments are going to do what they're going to do at the time they're going to do it, right? There's going to be certain activists, and it's going to take time for things to pass and shit like that. When it all comes down to it, you're here for your own purpose, your own life. You have to be selfish to become selfless. You are living your life, doing what you want to do. Okay. We are not going to change the fact that planes are flying and all that type of shit. I've realized that as much as I know all this stuff and I want to change everything, you can't. You just have to focus on you, teach people who want to be taught because it makes you feel good, and continue your journey. For example, right, it's not a coincidence how the weather has changed because there's no planes. Turn your phone around. It's it's gone. Your phone's you've gone portrait. Did you do anything then? Hello? Oh, I think your phone's died. Oh dear. For people listening right now, her phone died. I don't know whether it's gonna come back on. Either way, I think this conversation has ended. I'm just gonna give it a few minutes to see if her phone has died. And if it has died, this podcast will come to an end. And if it hasn't, well, we'll just continue. Let's see. Let me see.
If you've enjoyed this episode, I have many more for you to listen to, so go back and have a look at the old ones. Also, make sure that you have subscribed and notifications are turned on so you know when I've released a new one. Follow me on Instagram. Yes, King Oliver. Have a great day.